Brother Jeff Winfrey said this morning, and then Brother Larry, I tell you what, they got me excited. Now, quickly, that introduction is supposed to be short. Now, I've seen some that were not, but please pray for me. One announcement quickly. Next Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night, the meeting will be at Macedonia Church and Martin. Service started at 7 o'clock night, and I think the ladies said they're going to have supper every night, one Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And Elder James Isaacs will be with us. There's one thing on my mind today, and I hope and trust it's of the Lord. I'm at the point now to where that I'm on the sunset side of life, as it were. And the song says, my latest sun is sinking fast. My race is nearly run.
God bless you, bro.
I am so happy, though, to be able to finish up somewhat this race, because 14 and a half years ago, the surgeon said I died two times and possibly a third on the operating table. When I came to and I got my mind sort of collected back together, I did something that I was a little bit apprehensive about. I asked the good Lord to give me the same amount of time that he gave Hezekiah. Now, that was a little bit bold at that time, because they'd already said he's not going to make it. 14 and a half years. And the lady told me the other day when they checked my defibrillator and said, your battery has got 8 years left. So I'm talking to the Lord about an extension. And I think that's actually legitimate. He said, you have not because you ask not. Well, what I'm concerned about today is that some of us ministers are all, as I said, on the downside, but we want the church to be here for the next generation.
Yes, sir.
If I understand some of the things in the Old Testament teaching, if you remove the church, you've got a land that's fit for nothing except the owls and the bitterns.
Right.
And that's two little desert animals, if you understand what I'm saying. So my prayer is that when these youngsters and such as we have already here become dissatisfied with all the things of the world and the promises the world makes, I'm talking about religious promises, and cannot keep, and they start looking for something better, as I did some 60 years ago, that there will be something that looks different from the world.
Amen.
God's not going to call his little children, his lambs, out of the world into a thing that looks similar to the world.
That's right.
The church, my friends, has to be different.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to read just a tad. Y'all know what a tad is?
Yeah.
It's just a smidgen. All right. In the book of Esther, and the third chapter, and the 15th verse, that's, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Now, what I'm concerned about here is the principle of what's involved here. This is a Jewish girl that had been taught to separate herself from the worldly things, from the heathenistic things of the world. And here she is, a captive in a strange land, But she wants to keep her faith pure as best she can while she's in that strange land.
Yeah. That's right.
So, she asked for permission not to involve herself with all of the, what is the saying goes about, and you ladies, excuse me, putting on all the powder and paint. She wanted to be just as pure as God had made her. So she didn't require anything else. Guess who got to be queen?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Now I'm telling you something, folks. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent.
Amen.
Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not bring it to pass?
That's right.
And he has said that his bride is a living being, not an organization.
Right. Amen.
So, what I'm saying today is this. In this fast-changing world that's going on, I see some evidences of people at least wanting to and even sometimes trying to bring organizations into the church that do not belong.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about getting up, stirring up something here now. I'm just talking about truth. All right, here's the reason why. Part of the reason why that the church has to be just like Esther was. The church has to have nothing more than what her husband has provided for.
Amen.
And if you read the first part, I don't know how loud I'm talking because people with hearing aids think everybody else is hard of hearing, and so we tend to talk loud. But in the scriptures, the best I can find out, in the early church, the charter that was set before them said, and they continued. You can't continue in something you hadn't already been doing.
Right.
They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and in prayers.
Yeah.
Now, and then the Lord was the one added to the church. Now, why in the world do we want to keep the church pure? Because the church, as I said, is a living being in this world. Organizations are the product of men for the benefit of men,
right,
and for the glory of man.
Right.
The church, my friends, is created for the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
And she exists for the glory of her husband. So I'm going to tell you this. Now I'm going to tell you like Elder Vern Jackson explained to me one time about an incident that happened in long ago. And bless his heart, he wouldn't mind me repeating this. He said, "You cannot add dead wood to living material."
Amen.
I know we better move everything. Or I'll knock it off.
Go ahead, just scoot back a little bit.
But here's what he said. And that's exactly right. If the Savior has not provided for His bride everything that she needs, where are you going to look to get it?
Right.
It's right here in this book.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you this. I didn't ask that question to put any doubt as to what God has done. I asked the question to come with this answer. He has furnished her with everything that she needs.
Amen.
And you cannot join an organization of men to a living body called the Bride of Christ.
Amen. Right.
And brother, let me tell you this. The Bride of Christ existed before we ever knew anything about it. When John the Baptist was talking about this in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, he made a statement when the Savior was in the area. And I don't know whether he was looking at him or not at this particular time. But he said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." Now, do you notice that term, "he that hath the bride"? In that present tense, you English teachers?
That's right.
That's present tense. So, here's the thing about it is, and another thing, and then I'm going to try to wind this down. But you shouldn't have let me get up. Not today. Here, listen. I worked and the real estate office in Wichita County for 24 years. I learned the difference between redemption and a sale price.
Right. Yeah.
You cannot redeem something that you didn't once own.
That's right.
So Jesus had a bride before he ever came in the world, and he said so. Yep. He said, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh into me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which thou hast given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again to the last day."
Amen.
Now listen, my friends. He came down to redeem his bride. She belongs to him.
Yes, sir.
And he has provided her with everything that she needs. And I tell you what, right now, before that he's going to carry us to the glory world, he's going to strip off all this old flesh and the things that pollute and give us a new body.
Yeah.
Then we're going, as Brother Winfrey said. And I'll tell you this, let's just say this, that the bride does not need to be changed in any wise. She doesn't need anything else. For goodness sakes, let's let her come with a wedding dress on.
Yes, sir.
If you were to have a wedding here today, and the bride comes through that door back yonder, and the music starts, and the people stand up, and they're looking at her, and when she comes through the door, she's got on her sneakers and her blue jeans. He said, "Wait a minute, something's wrong here. Somebody has not understood what a wedding is or how to dress for it." Revelation says, and I close, said, "Let us be glad and rejoice." This is the 19th chapter of Revelation, about the 6th or 7th verse. "For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come. And to her, and said, and the bride hath made herself ready."
Yes, sir.
"And to her was granted that she should be adorned in fine linen, clean and white."
Mm-hmm.
And he explains. He said, "And the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, folks, God gave the bride everything that she needed. And like Esther, she is the queen. God bless you.
Amen. Come on and pray for us, bro. Come on and pray.
We'll do the best I can. Would you please bow with me? Gracious Lord, God of heaven and earth, our blessed Redeemer, we thank you, O Lord, that you have let us stand upon the rock and there indeed drink from the great spiritual rock which the Bible designates as Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this church and for this organization of churches. Lord, we will correct that and say this organism of churches.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask, Lord, that you come and dwell with us, be with the ministers that preach your unsearchable riches. And today, would you stand now as you have blessed us, the song service and the preaching thus far.
Yes,
be with Brother Kitchens as he comes to proclaim your name. Bless this congregation, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Want this water, brother?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got...